Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 27. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Acharya.
Tasmings tadalabda rucher mahamate.
Tasmings tadalabda.
Priya Shravasyas Kalita Matir Mama.
Priya Shravasyas Kalita Matir Mama.
Yayahame Tat Sada Satsvamayaya.
Yayahame Tat Sada Satsvamayaya.
Pashye Mai Brahmani Kalpitang Pare.
Pashye Mai Brahmani Kalpitang Pare.
Narad Muni is explaining to Vyas how he, Narad, overcame his situation of ignorance.
Could you repeat?
Narad Muni is explaining to Vyasadeva how he, Narad, overcame his entanglement in ignorance. Vyasadeva is entangled in ignorance, at least superficially. He is a Shaktyavesh avatar of the Supreme Lord. As is Narad Muni also. So their apparent entanglement in ignorance is superficial only. So Vyasadeva is presently entangled in ignorance. And Narad Muni, as his guru, is telling him how to get out of ignorance. Just as Narad got out of ignorance by the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas, the great devotees, he is intimating to Vyasadeva that in the same way you should take instructions from me and become delivered. The process is basically the same for everybody. Here the term used is labdharuche, which means to gain a taste for Krishna consciousness. This taste for Krishna consciousness is inherent in every living being. It simply has to be revived by the process of Krishna consciousness. How is Krishna consciousness revived? By Krishna consciousness. The practices that are taken up in the beginning stage continue even to the point of liberation and beyond. When a person takes to Krishna consciousness, he is engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, engaging in various services to Krishna, taking prasad offered to Krishna, associating with devotees of Krishna. And when a person is fully competent and complete in Krishna consciousness, what does he do? He hears and chants about Krishna. He engages in various services for Krishna. He takes prasad that has been offered to Krishna. He associates with devotees of Krishna. So in the very beginning, a devotee is engaged in the activities of the liberated state. There is, however, a difference, of course, between the beginning devotee and the consummate devotee. The beginning devotee has no taste for these activities. Whereas the pure devotees, they have full, unadulterated attraction for Krishna. Of course, even the beginning devotees have some taste. Otherwise, why would they engage in Krishna consciousness? Why would anyone give up the enjoyments of this material world if they didn't find more pleasure in Krishna consciousness? So from the very beginning, the Krishna consciousness is relishable. At least those who take to Krishna consciousness find more pleasure in serving Krishna than in serving the ignorance of this material world. But real taste is achieved when one gives up his attraction to this material world. As long as we maintain a taste for the so-called pleasures of this material world, we cannot achieve the full taste of Krishna consciousness. As long as we are not convinced that this material world is no better than the hall in which people pass stool, then we will not be able to fully surrender to Krishna. Yeah, that is the fact. All this wonderful civilization with big buildings, art, culture, so many intellectual dissertations, love, romance, everything in this material world. Mickey Mouse, Rolling Stone, football. It all adds up to what? It all completely taken together, it is what? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it is just like a hole which people pass stool in. So if you go to, I think here also, if you go in the village, you'll find these very, very nice toilets. It's especially meant for thoughtful people to analyze. There's so many days of stool, so many days collected stool as the, and the smell is not very pleasant. But the worms are in there, many of them, and they are enjoying. This is so nice, such nice stool, absolute ecstasy for the worms. And every day some more fresh stool is coming. So they are enjoying it. But actually it is a hellish condition. We find in the Bhagavatam descriptions of various hells in which sinful people have to suffer. So one of the hells is like a big lake of stool, pus, urine, and all nice things like this. So the worms, they're in the stool, they think this is very nice. We are thinking, oh, this is horrible. But the whole material world is like that. It's all hellish. Without Krishna consciousness, everything is simply suffering and nasty. But we are, due to perverted consciousness, we are thinking this is very nice. Get born in ignorance, come out of the womb covered in blood, screaming, grow up in ignorance. Young children, they have so many desires, but they cannot be fulfilled. Therefore, they scream, ah! Young children are always screaming and crying because they are suffering so much. And as they grow up, they learn that it's, as you get older, it's not socially acceptable to scream. But still, people have these feelings inside them. But as they grow up, they learn that it's not socially acceptable to show that you're suffering. You're supposed to look happy all the time. You see, in all the advertisements, they show people smiling. They never show people looking miserable. Drink Pepsi Cola and you'll be smiling. They don't show the advertisement that you drink Pepsi and then, ugh. So everyone has to show, yes, I'm very happy. If you ask people, how are you? In your culture, you say like that. You meet someone, you ask, how are you? In most cultures, it's like that. Yes. You do that also?
Yes.
So the standard reply is, very well, thank you. You're not supposed to say, no, I'm feeling miserable. The standard polite reply is, very well, thank you, isn't it? In your, in your language is, also? Even though mostly everyone's miserable. But it's everyone in materialistic society, there's a whole big unspoken conspiracy between everybody, that everybody has to pretend that they're happy. Everyone has to help convince everybody else that they're happy. Although everyone's miserable, you're not allowed to, it's not proper to say that. It's just like the story of the emperor's new clothes. You must all know that story. You all know that story? You don't know? You never read Hans Christian Andersen in your childhood? He wasn't pro-Soviet. He wasn't accepted by the Soviet authorities. Anyway, very briefly, there's a story that the emperor of a country was a fool, and he was cheated by some so-called tailors who, they told him that we have some very special cloth, but only intelligent people can see it. People who are fools, they can't see it. So the emperor said, please make me some clothes with this cloth. So when they were making it, the emperor would come to inspect as they were making it. And the tailors would show him and say, look at this wonderful cloth, isn't it marvelous? And the king would say, yes. And all the ministers would say, yes. Although there was nothing there. But they didn't want to show that they couldn't see anything. Because that would mean that they were foolish. They didn't want to say that they couldn't see the cloth, because the idea was that anyone who couldn't see the cloth, he was a fool. So when the clothes were finished, the tailor suggested that we will dress you in these new clothes and you can go for a parade in the city. So the tailors very carefully dressed him, smoothed it, made it just nice, and showed him in the mirror. Doesn't it look wonderful? The king was standing there seeing himself looking naked and praising, such wonderful clothes. I'm so grateful to you. Here is your reward, one casket of gold. So then he went for the parade in the city on his chariot. And all the people, they were looking and saying, wow, what wonderful clothes. And no one wanted to say that they couldn't see any clothes. They just saw the king. In English we say, in his birthday suit. The suit he was born in. Until one small child stood up and said, the emperor has no clothes on. And they said, oh, he's just a little child. He said, no, he's got no clothes on. And someone else said, yeah, he's got no clothes on. And then everybody said, he's got no clothes on. He's a fool. So it's like that in material life. Everyone is miserable and everyone knows it. But everyone is just convincing everyone else, yes, yes, I'm happy, life is so wonderful. No one wants to speak the truth, that actually the material life stinks, and you're not happy, and your so-called good job is miserable. People talk, I want to get a good job. They say that here now also. I'll get a good job. What does it mean? You work hard like a donkey, and earn some money, fill your home up with all kind of junk. You buy all different kinds of electronical devices, and you say, you see, now I have a good job, I'm happy. And eat the best food, all nice things like crabs and caviar. Caviar? You don't know? That's the Russian. It's the Russian favorite. You get from the eggs of the fish. I never had it either. I mean, I had plenty of other bad things, but I didn't have that. And you know, you don't just. Well, if you have a good job, you have money, and then you don't just drink beer, but you drink high class wine. This is considered high class, that instead of getting drunk and falling on the street by drinking beer, instead you drink champagne and cognac. This is very high class. But everyone's miserable, and no one can admit it. Therefore, they become drunk. Why get drunk? Getting drunk is miserable. But if you're so much in ignorance and suffering, you're so much in ignorance and suffering that you think... gets another kind of more ignorance and more suffering, but at least it's a variety from day to day suffering. Or you take some intoxication, other kind of intoxication. Here I saw some sign when we were driving in Vilnius. Narcoticum, stop. That's all. But the sign, just putting the sign, they're not going to stop. Because they think this is pleasure. Suicide, so many suicides. So many crazy things going on in the modern world. Because people are not happy. They're so much miserable. But no one will admit it. Even though we see the whole world, there's so much disturbance, we still go on in the same way. We see here in this country the whole communist system collapsed. And without question, they simply adopted the Western consumeristic way of life. At that time, they could have thought, well, which direction should we go in? But every country without exception simply adopted the consumeristic, Western materialistic way of life. Because they just presumed that life will be better. All these years we suffered. Yeah. No Coca-Cola, no McDonald's, no Levi jeans. Yeah. Now is the time we should enjoy. No Rolling Stones. They still didn't come to Lithuania. They came to Moscow. Moscow is now blessed. Liberation from the communist system. Now they can enjoy the Rolling Stones. But even they are singing, I can't get no satisfaction. The people think they're getting satisfaction by listening to their songs, but they themselves are singing, I don't get any satisfaction. They're already saying it, but still they're trying to get satisfaction in the same old way. The whole modern civilization, for all its sophistication and advancement, is simply based upon gratifying the senses, which even the dogs and hogs do. Modern civilization means to kill, means to constantly titillate the senses. Drink some Coca-Cola, smoke some cigarette, agitate the taste buds constantly, eat some Cadbury's chocolate, chew some gum. Constantly there has to be something on the tongue.
Yes, sir.
And then genital agitation. He's too innocent. He's too pure. He can't understand all these things. Constantly there should be some... Everything is advertised with pictures of some beautiful young woman. And all the women, young or even old, they're walking around dressed in such a way that their body is agitating the minds of men. And the men also are simply thinking how to capture some woman to enjoy. And spend so much money on hairstyle, fashions, shoes, deodorants, and then coloring their hair all different colors, just to attract the opposite sex. The whole of modern civilization is simply based upon this sense agitation. It's not enjoyment. It's simply some agitation. We as devotees, we know that we don't want this sense agitation. It's simply a disturbance. But materialistic people think this is pleasure. It's actually the cause of more suffering. Therefore, intelligent people, they don't take part in the gross sensual activities, because they know that it's simply suffering from beginning to end. What is that verse in Gita? Krishna says, "Adyantavanta kontaya nateshu ramate buddha." How does that verse begin? I can't remember it either. Yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yona evate adyantavanta kontaya nateshu ramate buddha. That so-called sense enjoyment, it's simply the interaction of the senses with their objects. It is simply a cause of suffering. So when a devotee is convinced of this, when a devotee is convinced that my happiness is with Krishna only, there is no happiness in material life. It's just a massive unspoken conspiracy. Everyone is fooling everybody else. Real happiness is only with Krishna. Because that's our constitutional position, to serve Krishna. We cannot be happy by not serving Krishna any more than a fish can be happy outside water, because that's not his constitutional position. If you give a fish Coca-Cola and a new computer and CDs and marijuana, can he be happy if he's outside the water? As long as he's outside the water, there's nothing you can do to make him happy. And when he's inside the water, he doesn't need anything else. That's his constitutional position. So in the same way, as long as we're not in Krishna consciousness, nothing can make us happy. And when we are in Krishna consciousness, we don't need anything else to make us happy, because we're fully satisfied in that position. So this process of Krishna consciousness is to take us from the beginning stages up to the stage of full attraction to Krishna. But we should be very careful to execute the process carefully. Narad Muni is giving the example of his own life, how he came from the stage of complete ignorance as the son of a maidservant to the stage of a pure devotee of the highest order. So that opportunity is there for us all by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we have to execute the process very carefully. As long as we are not completely free from all material desires, we have to be very careful to execute the process of sadhana bhakti very carefully. Because it may even seem that we're very advanced, but if even the seed of material desire is still in our heart, it can again come out and destroy us advancement. Therefore, we have to follow this process very, very carefully. And not only follow the rules and regulations, such as rising early, attending the Mangal Arati, chanting our rounds carefully, and so on. So, but we also have to internally adopt the mood of a devotee. Even if we follow all the rules and regulations very nicely, if we're proud, or if we're arrogant, or if we commit offenses to devotees, we won't make progress. So it's not simply a mechanical process. It's a process of reviving our love for Krishna. So it's a personal exchange with Krishna. It involves feelings, emotions, giving ourselves to Krishna, praying to Krishna, please accept me as your eternal servant, feeling ourselves very humble and fallen. So if we execute this process of Krishna consciousness very strictly, following all the rules and regulations, at the same time consciously trying to adopt the mood of a devotee. Nichena tararapi sahishana amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the mood of a devotee. How much important. Without this attitude of thinking oneself lowly and fallen, it would be very difficult to actually make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. And if we do develop this mood of humility, then very quickly, labdha ruchi, we will be blessed by Krishna with taste for hearing and chanting about Him and serving Him. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Did everyone hear the question? Well, I don't know what this has got to do with the class, but as there is no other question, I guess I can answer it. Usually we answer questions connected to the class. Well, how can you think of the spiritual master without thinking of Krishna? Otherwise, from external appearances, Guru is an ordinary person. He has two hands, two legs, he eats and sleeps just the same as you. So why is he, what's so special about a Guru? What distinguishes him from anybody else? Because he's of his relationship with Krishna. Why should you think of the Guru? Because he has a very nice smile. Only because he is giving Krishna. So how can you think of the spiritual master without thinking of Krishna? Isn't it? Naturally, when I think of Prabhupada, I think of Krishna. It's automatic, because Prabhupada is always thinking of Krishna. And thinking of Krishna, then I must think of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada gave me Krishna. Hare Krishna. One more question.
Hare Krishna.
One more question. Didn't make any more garlands from these flowers. It spoils the cloth, actually. Stains them all. Stains all the cloth. What's the question?
On what's left?
Devotional services. Repeat the question, Lordly.
Kokioj stadijoj mes pasiekiam išsivadavimą?
Devotional service is by itself the liberated position. But really we're liberated when we get free from all material desires. All right, I'm going